So just close our eyes and just imagine breathing right into the heart, directly into the heart. One deep breath in and out. And I just ask the one infinite creator to be here with us tonight and to fill our hearts with your love and to join us with understanding and unity tonight. May our words sink in and just help us in the highest and best way. And we give thanks to those unseen friends and those in the inner realms. And we are so grateful for your assistance. And we go forth tonight just expressing ourselves as clearly as possible in the service to all. Amen.
Amen. You've really gotten good at that. Really gotten good at it. All right. So here's tonight's topic that I wanted to just to run in and just get out there. That is the unmanifested self. Law of One, you know, Ra talking about the unmanifested self. So what I thought I would do is share my screen really quickly. And I have lots of things that are open. That's exciting. Okay. And I'm going to go to the Law of One here. And I'm going to go to the unmanifested. Oops. This is always open. It's always open on my screen. Unmanifested self. Let's return. I'm going to do a little refine action. Exact phrase. Here we go. Okay. So I'm going to read out loud a couple of passages and maybe we can stop and reflect. And then if that starts up a nice dialogue, then that'll be great. If not, we'll continue to read more. But I'd like to say one of the reasons why I wanted to bring up the unmanifested self is I feel it is what we use all the time in counseling to help people, to help ourselves. I think we use the unmanifested self all the time. And it'd be nice to see if we can uncover some metaphysics that Ra might give us. All right. So session 33.16, questioner. I was thinking possibly the catalyst of physical pain. How does this go under this heading? And Ra says, I'm Ra. This is correct. It's going under the heading of the unmanifested self. That is the self which does not need other self in order to manifest or. Okay, so I'm going to read another one and then we'll stop and see if anything is resonating. 34.6. Questioner, thank you. Can you give me examples of catalytic action to produce learning under each of the following headings from the last session we had? Can you give me an example of the self unmanifested producing learning catalyst? The answer, I'm Rob. We observed your interest in the catalyst of pain. This experience is most common among your entities. The pain may be of a physical complex. More often, it is of the mental and emotional complex. In some few cases, the pain is spiritual and complex nature. This creates a potential for learning. The lessons to be learned vary. Almost always, these lessons include patience, tolerance, and the ability for the light touch. Very often, the catalyst for emotional pain, whether it be the death of the physical complex of another self, which is loved, or some other seeming loss, will simply result in the opposite, in a bitterness, an impatience, a souring. This is catalyst which has gone awry. In these cases, then, there will be additional catalysts provided to offer the unmanifest self further opportunities for discovering the self as all-sufficient creator containing all that there is and full of joy. Well, intriguing. Anybody have any thoughts as to what the unmanifest self might be, just as you're thinking about that? Or maybe you know already. The unmanifest. And DeMarcus and Victor, welcome to chime in.
I understand that it manifests itself to be the higher self or the magical personality. Does that align with your understanding, Dave?
No, but and I have reasons for that, but I don't think I'm right. But why would you say it's, how did you draw the link between unmanifested self and the higher self? Was there a certain session or two that you remember from that?
There's a quote channeling that uses the two terms synonymously. So unmanifested self synonymously with the higher self, magical personality.
Yeah. I would think that the unmanifested self is connected to the higher self, the magical personality. But I feel like the self is really embedded in our third density environment. In other words, it's kind of like you work with the unmanifested self in order to invoke the magical personality. So it's like Jesus saying, nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. Nobody goes to the magical personality except through the unmanifested self. But anyways, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But I'm not saying I'm right. I like that, what you're saying too. Victor, did you have any thoughts on that?
No, actually. I for some reason, I really haven't gone into this. I haven't looked into it too much, but it's interesting. So I'm curious on what you have to say about it.
Anybody else have some thoughts?
Doug, just when you read the very first thing about physical pain, I believe, and then it went on to the unmanifested self, and that made me think, boy, if the physical pain part brought me into the third density experience. So
how does that relate to that?
I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, Doug, this is Fred. I had a question. You know, when I'm listening to the unmanifested self and listening to this, it reminds me a little bit of, like, and this may be a weird way of crossing it, but it immediately reminded me of, like, was it Rupert Murdoch and his whole idea of what he says, like, you know, you're like a plant. And I forgot the specific word he said. It's almost like a specific pattern that, you know, everything has this pattern of what it grows into. So if we're saying a leaf, a specific oak leaf has a specific pattern that it grows into. So it's almost like a mapped out or a directed pattern. Oh, I wish I could remember the word he used. Rupert Murdoch, he says that, so all living things have this, like, almost like a map or a destiny or a blueprint that it grows into.
Yeah, and you're talking about Rupert Sheldrick, right?
Sheldrick, yeah, Sheldrick. That's what I said, Rupert Murdoch. Boy, that was a Freudian.
Well, you got Rupert right.
Yeah, I had Rupert right. But yeah, Sheldon, what did he call it? It almost, when you said those two names, it almost clicked. What do you call it?
Isn't it energy fields or?
It's like an energy field. Mm-hmm. And he says, and so I'm wondering, is an unmanifested self almost like an energy field that we are called to in our development, almost like a mapping toward higher self?
Well, I think that's a wonderful open-ended question. Maybe that'll manifest as we talk, manifesting the unmanifest. Maybe that'll emerge as we talk a little bit or read a little bit more, but let's hold that intention. That's good.
Doug, I can also see the unmanifest self being our time-space portion of us that's outside of the space-time illusion. Like you said, that is directly influenced by the higher self.
Yeah, I lean more in that particular place. As we will read a little bit more, this is one of the nuances that I'm interested in discovering with you, is maybe the unmanifested self is actually a third. So it's not necessarily the space-time. It's not fully the time-space, but it's kind of that intermediary self that we can work with directly. But let's continue here. Okay, let's go to 34 point. Well, let's go up here. Okay, sorry. 34.7, do what we call contagious diseases play any part in this process with respect to the unmanifested self? I am Ra, These so-called contagious diseases are those entities of second density which offer an opportunity for this type of catalyst. If this catalyst is unneeded, then these second density creatures, as you would call them, do not have an effect. In each of these generalizations, you may please note that there are anomalies so that we cannot speak to every circumstance, but only to the general run or way of things as you experience them. Thank you. 34.9. Thank you. Would you give me the same type of information about the self in relation to the societal self? I know that there was something, I think there was a session missing there in between, but that's okay. Ra, I am Ra. The unmanifested self may find its lessons, those which develop any of the energy influx centers of the mind-body-spirit complex. I'm going to read that again. The unmanifested self may find its lessons, those which develop any of the energy influx centers of the mind-body-spirit complex. The societal and self interactions most often concentrate upon the second and third energy centers. Thus, those most active in attempting to remake or alter the society are those working from feelings of being correct personally or of having answers which will put power in a more correct configuration. This may be seen to be a full travel from negative to positive in orientation. Either will activate these rays. Lastly, there are some few whose desires to aid society are of a green ray nature or above. These entities, however, are few due to the understanding, may we say, a fourth ray that universal love freely given is more to be desired than principalities or even the rearrangement of peoples or political structures. Okay? So we have this sense now that the unmanifested self has something to learn, may find its lessons, those which develop any of the energy influx centers of the mind-body-spirit complex. Any thoughts on that?
I have a thought, maybe. Like yellow ray or yellow chakra relating to others and the unmanifest of, you know, showing up to building forth and relating to others at, you know, 7:59 and then you manifest it into relating to others and actually showing up. And so it's got both. I can choose to manifest going and relating or manifest not going and staying.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. That's interesting and good. Anybody else have some thoughts so far?
I noticed that, you know, it's talking about lessons in all of the energy centers and also that it's specific to the mind, body, spirit. And so that does indicate to me that, you know, this isn't specifically the higher self in the way that you were talking about it. And that, yeah, so there's something there about lessons in this incarnation, in this experience.
Yeah. I'm going to read the next one and then I'm going to throw out a couple of thoughts. Oh, Troy, you had something.
In the many worlds hypothesis, there are parallel timelines and choices that we make mean that I manifest in this timeline in a certain way, but all these other timelines are other directions my life could go. Is that, do you think that relates at all to, and those are unmanifested. So does that relate at all to this thesis that you're developing?
I see where you were trying to draw the line there. I don't think it does, because the way that I think Ra is talking about, well, let's go to the next one. That might clear up some things. I'll read it out loud. 34.12, questioner. I thought that was correct, but I wasn't sure. Can you give me the same type of information that we have been getting here with respect to the unmanifested self interacting between self and gadgets? Okay, so this is interesting. Self and iPhone or Android. Self and computer, self and car, right? So now we have like, there's subject object. All right, here we go. I am wrong. In this particular instance, we again concentrate for the most part in the orange and yellow ray centers. In a negative sense, many of the gadgets among your peoples, that is, what you call your communication devices and other distractions, such as the less competitive games, may be seen to have the distortion of keeping the mind-body-spirit complex unactivated, so that the yellow and orange ray activity is much weakened, thus carefully decreasing the possibility of eventual green ray activation. Others of your gadgets may be seen to be tools whereby the entity explores the capabilities of its physical or mental complex, and in some few cases, the spiritual complex, thus activating the orange ray in what you call your team sports, and in other gadgets, such as your modes of transportation. These may be seen to be ways of investigating the feelings of power, more especially power over others or a group power over another group of others, right? So this is interesting because now we have subject object, and Ross talking about how our use of gadgets can distract us, keep us in some senses, if they move into a level of numbing out, maybe, can keep us from that nagging little nudge of, I could be doing more, or am I working towards my vocation, or am I scratching that spiritual itch, you know, it's those kinds of. So what might that nagging little itch have, that those voices of you're wasting your time, what might that be? And we call it our conscience in sort of the common lexicon, the conscience. I think that what if the unmanifested self were something like the dialogue partner that you and I have when we're talking to ourselves? And the dialogue partner is, it's us, but in the, it's like a subject to subject. It's a conversation. It's almost as if you were talking to yourself in the mirror, but the mirror doesn't have to be. And I think for those of us, and I'll speak for myself, whenever I'm numbing out on things that numb me out, I'm not having any dialogue. I'm wanting to numb out and not think about things or feel a lack of motivation, you know, things kind of grind to a halt a little bit. And when it's gone on long enough, I might start feeling a nudge to do something different. Okay. Maybe that's part of the unmanifested self. But it seems to be that there's this dialogue that's happening between self and self in third density. And maybe it might be the guardian angel, you know, that Christians have this notion of the guardian angel. Maybe that's another way to understand it. But it's the sense of the self that is something that we can talk to, and it doesn't mean it's elevated. It's matching exactly where you're at. So for example, if you and I are having if you have a dialogue and the voice is numinous, you know, it's seemingly coming from a higher place, you know, maybe that is the higher self. But oftentimes we might be having dialogues with ourselves, and maybe in therapy we might call it the stinking thinking or defense mechanisms, you know, earlier defense mechanisms that we're not really good at, or we don't need anymore, that we used when we were younger. And it could be that if we learn how to dialogue with that self, that yourself that's also right there, you can start asking, like we do in therapy, is, do I really need to be thinking this thought? Am I free to not think these thoughts? is going down this trajectory of rumination actually helping me love and all that? Well, you're talking to somebody when you're doing that, and you're talking to yourself, but it's not you. It's also you. It's, what do you think? Yeah, Elizabeth.
I feel like I'm getting myself confused with these thoughts. I'm trying to take what you're talking about gadgets and our relationship with unmanifested, the unmanifested self, and going back up to that idea of pain and that you might be having physically. Is it the thoughts that we have regarding our the suffering or the pain that we're feeling? It's saying, how are you, what are you doing with the thoughts about your own manifested body? You have cancer. You're going through cancer. What are the thoughts that you're having about your cancer? Is it leading you to not learn the lessons that are going to help you move higher, but are keeping you trapped? Is that how that connects with the gadgets that we use, or it's processing these things that happen to us in this third density life, that either it can work to our advantage for growth and love and manifesting higher ways of being, or our thoughts are going to do just the opposite of that? I'm trying to see how these things mesh with each other, and maybe I'm way off base about that. I don't know.
No, I think you're fine. That's I love that you're grappling with this. Danny, I see your hand raised. Give me just 1 second and I'll call on you. It with the idea of, we are here in third density to do lots of things. And obviously the biggest one is to continue to grow. We're developing, you know, psycho-spiritually evolving, you know, and the only way we can evolve is through karmic balances and imbalances. Imbalances aren't bad. They're the reason why we can grow. And then we learn to harmonize, balance and harmonize, you know, but how we do that, we're given lots of opportunities to make choices of using catalysts that come to us to grow, if that's what we want to do, you know. And I think that when we make a choice, and this is one of the things that psychotherapy has taught me, and try it out in your own experience maybe, huh? But when we make a choice, there's going to be a dialogue taking place a little bit. I mean, just notice in your own, inside your head, there's going to be dialogue. Okay, I'm feeling really sick today. I have a choice to just deal with this and embrace it, even though I don't like it. Or I'm feeling really bitter, all of that stuff. But then the question is what do I want to do with that? I mean, there's a subtle dialogue going on. And I think Ra is saying that you can actually learn to use what has always and everywhere been there for every incarnation, the unmanifested self. You can use this very directly because it is you in a subject-to-subject form, and that voice can maybe help us to make decisions, because between the two of us, if I could, the manifested self and the unmanifested self, that will produce a decision. And then the decision gets flushed all the way through from the unmanifested self into the manifested self into the world.
Mm.
You and I make this, your unmanifested self can't do anything because it's not manifested. Our manifested body is the cutting edge of all of this. But how does the manifested body get there? Through dialogue. That's just a speculation I have. Danny? Did you have any thoughts, and anybody else have any thoughts? Danny, go ahead.
And something you said just in your response there, I think you said something like something that stays through incarnations, that, not sure what you said, but my thought was, you know, if the idea is for the divineness, our divine beingness to manifest, am I right in that, even within the raw sense? So the small self, is what is manifested. I was wondering if, to me, in my model, in my own spirituality, I would liken it then manifest itself to the soul in terms of, okay, there's a true self that is my truest divine identity, but then there's this state of separation
into this soul that has many incarnations that is growing in its awareness of divinity. And so there's greater manifestations of truth eventuating. So I that third in between that you were talking about, to me, I was likening it to, say, what I understand for myself is the soul. And I don't know if there's, not knowing the raw material very well, if there are other discussions about soul, but that mm-hmm. seems to fit the model for me, that it's carrying a level of truth and divinity above what I'm really aware of in my small self, but it comes through in synchronicities, in moments where I may be doing something else, you know, there may be even playing a video game, but some element of truth comes through to me about what's going on in the game, you know, and just, you know, those enlightenments that come that maybe come from that part of us that does carry a greater wisdom that I kind of think might be soul.
I love it. I think the unmanifested self is not totally equivalent to the soul, but I think it is a part of the soul. Ra later on will talk about the significant self. The significant self, the meaning-making self that tends to go from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. And I've often thought about that as being, I mean, it is unmanifested, but it's not the same as the unmanifested self. But I think it's a part of it. You might even say that the unmanifested self is the significant self in that incarnation, but the unmanifested self doesn't go from incarnation to incarnation. It's kind of like the significant self does that. But the unmanifested self, you're right. It is a way to, if you're getting a synchronicity, notice again, next time we have synchronicities, notice that there's going to be a subtle dialogue. Oh, I'm noticing that. I wonder what that can mean. I wonder how that is, wonder where that comes from. You know, like those are dialogues that we start to have with ourselves. And I think that in part is the unmanifested self through which our soul or higher self can speak. It's kind of like that mediator. Yeah, Troy.
I'm perplexed at why Ra chose that term. Seems like he could have called it the inner dialogue or any number of things, but he chose unmanifested and any idea of what his thinking was in that regard?
Well, I think in part, a lot of wanderers are from the Ra group are here sending messages back home saying you need to brush up on your English. it's not playing out well here, homie. But I think that inner dialogue is the unmanifested self. But notice, like when you are in relationship with somebody else or the actions you're making, you know, that is your manifested self, space-time physical self. But how we get there, how we get to every action is going to be in a dialogue. Because even if I'm doing something, like let's say I'm motivated to give to somebody, I'm motivated to give some money, I'm just making this up, motivated to give some money to somebody. That's going to be a dialogue if I'm paying attention of how I got there. But then right before I give the money, there's something that's actually even more behind the action. So it's motivation brought me up. That's like the batter's box. You're in the batter's box. But when you get, when you're on deck, that is motivation. But once you get into the batter's box, that is intention. Because I could be motivated to give money, but right before I give it, I might have this intention of, well, I'm going to give them money because honestly, I want them to like me more. I'm a two, so that you know that's pretty two on the Enneagram. I want them to like me more. So that is an intention that is subtly different than the motivation. And even in my intention of giving someone money, there's going to be a dialogue between, you know, myself in space-time at this moment. I'm projecting myself in the future. When I give them money, I'm thinking about how they're going to be acting, all of this stuff. You know, there's a lot of dialogues going on. And that dialogue partner, the inner dialogue, as Troy says, as a good Jungian psychiatrist, I think that might be the unmanifested self, the mirror that we can talk back and forth with. Yeah, Victor.
As I've been taking in what you've been saying, I remembered the term pain body.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like while this isn't exactly the pain body is maybe a portion of this type of inner dialogue, and where it's remaining at the lower chakras in some way. And so the unmanifest itself could be this, as you were saying, like this mirror in which you're able to better see yourself, whereas you're not able to really gauge yourself without this inner dialogue or this mirror. And so it's allowing you to do it within your own system. And so I see that also as what the pain body does. You know, the pain body is allowing you to process some catalyst in that way. So yeah, so this has started to make a little bit more sense to me, and it just is going to mirror wherever you are on in the chakra system.
Yeah, as a dialogue partner, we're going to read the next two, and I think things might even become clearer. So all right, session 6620, questioner. I have a written question, two of them actually. The first is, would you please list the polarities within the body which are related to the balancing of the energy centers of the various bodies of the unmanifested entity? Unmanifested. Ra, I am Ra. In this question, there lies a great deal of thought which we are appreciate. It is possible that the question itself may serve to aid meditations upon this particular subject. Each manifested self is unique. Basic polarities have to do with the balanced vibratory rates and relationships between the first three energy centers and, to a lesser extent, each of the other energy centers. Okay. So let me read one more, and then we're going to come back and weigh in. All right. Here we go. 71.5. Define, please, the unmanifested being. I am Ra. We may see that you wish to pursue the deeper stratum of information. We shall therefore answer in a certain way which does not exhaust the query, but it's designed to move beneath the outer teachings somewhat. The unmanifested being is, as we have said, that being which exists and does its work without reference to or aid from other selves. To move into this concept, you may see the inevitable connection between the unmanifested self and the metaphysical or time-space analog of the space-time self. Hold on to that. The activities of meditation, contemplation, and what we may be called the internal balancing of thoughts and reactions are those activities of the unmanifested self more closely aligned with a metaphysical self. All right. I'm going to give you what I think they're saying, and I'm going to probably be wrong. And then I'd like to ask you what you think they're saying. So I'm going to really stick with 71.5 here. It seems to me that we have there's actually many different selves, but there's a time, space, metaphysical self. So this is the self. In other areas of the Law of One, is the self that would be that field that Fred was talking about. He had to leave, unfortunately, but this template, you know, and it's the self that would have the fullness of whatever you might think of them a little bit as, like the archetypes, like the archetype of the heart, like in a perfected third density heart would exist in this space-time area. But time-space, the astral. But remember, time-space isn't more special than space-time. Everybody is so happy and excited about the astral planes and whatnot. Actually, there, I think, the time-space nudge, like if you're in time space, there's a constant nudge to want to incarnate into space time. This is where the magic is happening, you know, in space time and their bodies. So there's almost a deficiency built into time-space that wants to get into the incarnate state. That's the push of the One Infinite Creator, is to incarnate and to experience itself in this intensity. Now, from time-space to space-time, this is the body in space-time, body that you and I have, that evolves, that grows, that learns from Catalyst. You see? And we can become, well, we do become distorted from our time-space template. Why do we become distorted? Because that's how we grow. So in other words, if my time-space component or analog is like maybe I did something really not great to somebody in the future, then the time-space part of me may have some of that karma. Might. And then when I incarnate, maybe I have to do some balancing here. So this is going to stand as a something that doesn't change throughout the incarnation, all the karmic patterns that are given to me. But my space-time self can take these imbalances and learn to use them for good, you know, to balance the karma. And so there's something in the middle, and this is the unmanifested self, that dialogues between the two. So as we say here, the unmanifested self is, as we have said, the being which exists and does its work without reference to or aid from other selves. And then Ross says, you may see this inevitable connection between the unmanifested self and the metaphysical or time-space self. Okay, so it's a connection. It's not the same thing. It's a connection. So can you see there's almost a trinity here? Time-space self, space-time, and then this unmanifested self in the middle. Troy?
I put in the chat, trying to put my thoughts together on this. The first layer of inner self that we find when we do go inwardly is this dialogue-y part that you talked about. And at least if we're going in an upward direction or a higher direction and not just pondering our angers, that would be called the nous in Christian theology and Greek. Do you have any thoughts about the relationship of the unmanifested self to the concept of the nous?
Yeah, I think that the unmanifested self can channel the nous. I think the unmanifested self can't do anything unless the manifested self chooses to do something, but it's the partner that is 100% in solidarity. So for example, if you are learning about the ego structure and how it's maybe my false self has been leading the charge for all these times, I mean, the unmanifested self could even be the false self, because it's dialogue. I want to get richer. Why do you want to get richer? Because then I'm going to have more power over people, you know, something like that. That dialogue is the unmanifested self. It's the exact mirror where you're at. But if our space-time version, so the self, the manifested self, you and me right here, if we suffered a kind of suffering, oh no, what do I believe anymore? The person I thought I was, I see that now as a charade. Well, that's a dialogue going on too. What do I believe anymore? You know, like what, almost like the unmanifested self is saying, what do you believe? What do I believe anymore? I don't know. What do you believe? You know, I'm feeling so much pain. Why? Because I lived my life in a way that was not great. What do you want to do? Oh, I want to pray. Good idea. Oh, the noose comes down, you know, and then it's maybe there's something. Obviously, if we're receiving it in the space-time, it's going to have to come through time-space, and it would come through probably our higher self, you know, into the time-space analog of our space-time. So the you and the astral coming through the threshold or the beach. I think of the unmanifested self as the beach, the shoreline. It's not ocean. It's not dry land. It's that thing in the middle. See? In fact, you'll start to see that everything in the world, if there are two, it's always a three. You know, like when you're in relationship with somebody, it's you and that person, and then that shoreline in between, which might be the unmanifested self of that relationship. You know, the relationship starts to have an entity or presence or sentience. So the shoreline might be a way to understand the unmanifested self. And I think that through the shoreline, that would be the conduit where we can get nous. Danny.
Well, I, yeah, this is great. And I as you keep mentioning the word dialogue, it comes to me how important then dialogue is, because that's kind of the third entity going on between the small self and this unmanifested right. self. And it just brought to mind, oh, the last of Course of Love, there's a section called Dialogue Unveiled. And, you know, it really points out how little dialogue goes on a lot of times between us all. So, I mean, we're already hearing and projecting, and we're not really seeing and hearing the other. And so if the small self can learn more about true dialogue, that could, I think, accentuate the process you're talking about to really take some the conversation that's going on, take it to heart on a whole nother level and really stop and listen and, yeah, take it more seriously. It's kind of one of the things I'm getting from this.
Take the inner voice that seems to always be exactly where you are at very seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. And enter into dialogue, like be aware of the ways we really avoid true dialogue most of the time when we're in more that smaller or egoic self. Kind of fear-based.
Yeah. Okay, so DeMarcus and then Barbara, I'll say what you wrote here, but DeMarcus, go ahead, and then I'll circle back.
I may butcher this explanation, so y'all stay with me, but as I'm trying to think about the unmanifested self and visualizing it, I can almost kind of see it as a play or actor. I was in theater in high school, so when I think about the unmanifested self, I kind of almost think about it as the actor that's off stage, in the state of being off stage. And then the manifest itself is the state of being on stage. Everyone can see you. I remember being in high school in plays when I'm off stage in the dark, kind of to myself, getting my mind right, reading my script. And I like that Ross says, you're doing work without the help or without the aid of other selves. Because when I was off stage in the dark, reading my script, just going over my lines myself, like I said, working on me so that I could go out into the manifest, you know, world or the stage and then produce the best form of art. So I can kind of see the unmanifest itself as the actor that's kind of in the wings, that's kind of in the dark, but there's a direct feedback between the actor on stage or the manifest itself and then the actor off stage and the unmanifest itself. Because, you know, if I were to go off stage and goof around, then I wouldn't come back in the right mind. Or if I'm on stage and I'm just not in the right mind, then myself off stage would be affected by that. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of the image I've been getting.
I love it. I think that is really helpful. Thank you. What about others? Do you guys like that explanation? Does that help a little bit? Yeah. Grand slam there, bud. Okay. Where does all of this mind chatter fit into this? Barbara asks. Oh, the mind chatter. I'm just going to take a stab at that, and I'd love to hear if you guys have better thoughts or different thoughts. The mind chatter, I think that this is just my guess, but I think in part the mind chatter that we have that is like always semi-unconscious could be bad dialogue between the manifested self and the unmanifested self. In other words, it's like the manifested self, you, and the unmanifested self are really trying to use catalysts well, but they ain't listening to each other. So it's just like talking over each other and blah, 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 blah. And notice, though, that when in like psychotherapy techniques, one can become aware that there is such a thing as mind chatter. A lot of us aren't even aware that there's a chattering going on because it's just so normal, you know. But when you can become aware of that there's this chatter, then we can become aware of why are we chattering here, or what are these voices that are chattering, Well, I think the you, the manifested self, the you in this body that is starting to become curious about what is going on in me that's creating all of this mind chatter. It's like I'm just now becoming aware that there's like this blot, their conversation going on that's been annoying, you know? The you that's becoming aware of this chatter and then becomes curious and then wanting to investigate the nature of this, I think that might be your manifested self and your unmanifested self saying, what the heck is going on, you know? And can we get to the nature of this chatter? Can we do something about it? Because I think that Ra says in other places too, that the manifested self and the unmanifested self is the dialogical self, okay? By the way, dia, logos. Logos, we know what that is. Logos, love and logos. Dia meaning two. You and your unmanifested self creating a logos. There it is. So, and you might even say that you and your time-space self, the astral self, in that dialogue between time-space and space-time is the unmanifested self. That is the dia logos. But regardless, it doesn't really matter. I think the point is that the mind chatter is has happening, nature, nurture, and free will. You know, it might be genetic and also are not taking the catalyst that either happened to us years ago and is now emerging in the present moment. And there's that chatter, you know, regardless, the chattering is going on. And when you and your space-time body, yourself, wakes up to saying, I don't like this chatter anymore, I want to do something about it, the unmanifested self is like, yeah, I want to do something about it too. We've been trying to talk to each other. No one's getting along here, you know, because we're not really present to each other. And so finally, the unmanifested self is a dialogue partner to be able to say, why am I having those thoughts? I don't know. Well, let's think about when we were younger. That's a good idea. You know, maybe I should find somebody to help me. Yes. You see, so like there's this dialogue that maybe we're not really aware of that's happening and that we can use it more, this unmanifested.
Yeah, Doug, that sounds correct, because when you said bad dialogue and the disconnect, and I thought, yes, I can separate that from what I call the good dialogue. I mean, it's just totally different. And when you, and to think about, I just can't imagine not being aware of that mind chatter. Anyone, but I guess maybe at some point in my life I was as well, you know. Yeah, thank you for that.
We are all the frogs boiling until we are aware that we're boiling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We'll end here in 1 minute, but Troy, you had one other thought or question? Or
I just want to say in the multiple personality literature, there's a phenomenon called the inner self-helper. And I always thought of it as a manifestation of news, but it's sort of like the calm voice of reason that is aware of all the personalities, but doesn't come out on its own like a personality. So it's sort of like a wise older sister or wise other brother or something like that. And I wonder if that's kind of a phenomena akin to...
It sounds right to me.
Sounds right to me too, Troy.
I think one of the things we'll end here is, as we discover more and more metaphysical things that the Law of One says or in other places, we start to see that it's true in lots of different areas of our life. Maybe we have thought of it different, or maybe science discovers it and calls it something else, but all of these congruences, we can start to see how they're metaphysically fitting together. So what you said is what psychiatrists may have discovered, and it could very well be a great discovery of what Ra is calling the unmanifested self. Yeah. Fantastic conversation. Thank you. This was This was fun. And go out and have a conversation with the old, well, the unmanifest self has been talking all the time. So would somebody like to close us out? Close us out.
I can do it.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Creator, thank you for bringing us all together this evening and for the wonderful day that we had. And thank you for bringing up this topic of the unmanifest itself, so that maybe we can engage more with this inner dialogue and learn more from it and seek our hearts deeper. Thank you. And have a great evening, everybody.
Amen. Thank you. God bless. And next week we'll be doing Sharing Our Catalysts. We'll see you later.
Good night. Thank you, Doug.
Bye.
Hope you feel better, Troy.
Yes. Sending blessings.
Appreciate it, guys.